The passage taken for the sermon this morning is from the second reading, which was also the gospel for today. And Jesus, answering, said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we consider why it is that particular accounts are included in the Gospels, we have to give a good deal of thought to the fact that Jesus cured more than these 10 lepers. He gave sight to many more people than are recorded, and hearing. He healed and raised from the dead more people than we have accounts in Gospels. And so the reason that we have particular accounts is that they are illustrative for us of the continuing spiritual problems that we have in our lives, and their lessons for us. When we look at this particular account about the 10 lepers, it's a really important gospel to help us to understand our relationship to God. Leprosy from the time of Moses was considered to be a physical condition that reflected the spiritual illness of man in relationship to God. Now, that doesn't mean that lepers were more sinful or greater sinners than the rest of us. What it means is that the idea of leprosy, the disease itself, is illustrative of our own spiritual condition when we are in the state of sin. Leprosy, the physical condition, is called the living death. It's the process of dying while you're living, starting with the extremities, and working its way into the core. There's no cure for it. And worse than the fact that it is a sentence of death that is dying while you're living, it is a social sentence as well. Anybody with leprosy, because of its contagious nature, was put into leper colonies, shepherded away from all other people. They were restricted from their faith, from their practice of their religion, from their social circles, and from their families. These 10 particular lepers that Jesus encounters outside of Jerusalem probably were in the leper colony that gathered around what is called Gehenna, which is where the waste and refuse of the city of Jerusalem was poured out of the city and into the plain. And so the idea that these people lived in noxious fumes and burning refuse, isolated to be with people who were only as unhappy and miserable and suffering as they were, there couldn't be a better analogy to what we do to ourselves when we reserve for ourselves a fate that is other than heaven. That's exactly what we get, that place of noxious fumes and loneliness and desperation, surrounded by other miserable people with nothing to look forward to but death and loneliness. The connection of leprosy to our spiritual condition is most clear in the story of Naaman and the prophet Elijah. Naaman was a Syrian general. He was one of the great generals, a favorite of the emperor. And as he went through his victories, the habit back in those days was that the victor would take slaves of the people that they defeated. And one of the slaves that was in Naaman's household was a young Jewish girl, who, even though she was a slave, took pity on her master, this great man suffering with this terrible disease. And she told him that there was a great prophet in Samaria that would be able to heal him. And so he took notice, and he went to his emperor and asked for leaves and letters of commendation, and went from his emperor to the king of Judah with his army and his entourage, and planted himself in front of the king of Judah and said, "All right, bring this guy out and heal me. I'm a very important guy." And of course, the king panicked, sent messengers to Elijah and says, "What am I going to do? I can't heal this guy. I don't think you can heal this guy. We're about to have an entire army that's already inside our gates go roughshod on our people." Now, I don't know exactly what it is that Naaman thought he deserved, But what he actually got was pretty underwhelming to him. Elijah didn't come. He sent a messenger. The messenger said, go dunk yourselves, self, seven times into the Jordan River. And of course, Naaman was furious. You know, why should he go into this backwater river in this nowhere land bidden by somebody's assistant or servant? He deserved the A-list treatment, and he wasn't going to put up with it. And he was in a full rage until his people managed to calm him down enough to say, hey, why don't you give it a chance? You were willing to do something far more difficult, and because you were asked to do something easy, don't turn it away. And so he did. He went and dunked himself seven times in the Jordan and came out clean, cured. And he went to Elijah now, thinking, and look, see, it's reversed. While he was demanding Elijah come to him before his healing, now he's going to Elijah. And he wants to shower him with gifts and with praise. And Elijah says, no, that's not what we want. What we want is for you to praise God, to glorify him, and to give thanks. And that is all we need for you to do. And then Naaman did something that was really incredible. He looked at Elijah and said, I want one more favor from you. When I go back to the emperor, I will be in his palace, in his temple, and we will be worshiping his gods. But I want you to know that I will never worship any other but the one true God that is here in Israel. And if you will forgive me this, I will stay faithful forever. What a turnaround from this spoiled, self-entitled general to this humble and penitent man who presents himself to the Lord, asking forgiveness for his sins and grace from God. The 10 lepers that Jesus encounters are very much like Naaman. They knew there was a holy man in Jerusalem, going to Jerusalem, and that he could heal them of their leprosy. And so they made a plan to encounter him, to intercept him. They couldn't be on the road with him because, remember, they were lepers. Lepers, when they encountered people on the road, had to declare themselves to be unclean, unclean, at the top of their voice, and then move away. And so they are afar off the road and begging to Jesus to pay attention to them and to heal them. And of course, being the loving God that he is, he does heal them all and sends them off to see the priests. Now, why would he send them to see priests? Right? They had leprosy, which was a medical condition. But as far back as Mosaic law, it was understood that leprosy is not just a medical condition, but a spiritual condition. And so in Mosaic law, it is prescribed that if you are cured from leprosy, a doctor can't release you, and a health official can't release you. Only a priest can certify that you have been healed, and that you are now welcome to be restored to your community, to your faith, to worship in the temple, to be part of the everyday life of the world. And of course, we know that only one, a Samaritan, the one guy who didn't have the temple upbringing, who didn't have the word of the prophets, who didn't have all of Scripture, who didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah to come, that one guy is the one who comes back and he proclaims Jesus to be God. He worships him as God. And he praises him and he gives thanks. And then Jesus says something which is really the hinge of this entire account, especially for us. He looks at this man and he says, go in peace, thy faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. This man had already been cured of his leprosy, like the other nine. But because he came back and worshiped God, because he did what he was made to do, created to do, worship God and give thanks, this man is made whole in a way that the other nine were not. So what is it that it could be that is being made whole. Well, what's being made whole is that this man is in the presence of Jesus Christ. He has his full attention. He has his mercy. He has his love, the same love that Jesus shares with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He gives directly, personally to this man. And he is fulfilled because this man is doing what he was created to do, what we are all created to do above all things, praising God and giving thanks. The other nine, they were healed. They were healed of their infirmity, and they were restored to their old lives. They were restored to the temple. They were restored to their businesses. They were restored to their families. They were restored to everything that's temporal that is going to pass away. And of course, that's the problem, isn't it? That they took advantage of this incredible act of grace and this miracle in their lives, and instead of looking through this life into their ultimate purpose, they busied themselves with being restored to their old life, to the temporal life of this world, to the things that pass away. And so they were not made whole like this man was made whole. So how does that apply to us? You know, we all have seasons when we struggle with our faith, seasons when our prayers don't seem to be answered, or it's even hard to say prayers. When getting through the 15 seconds of the Our Father seems like it's going to be impossible, when we doubt that God means good for us because we see terrible things happen, or we feel terrible ourselves. And so we struggle in our faith. And the reason we have these dry seasons is because we are like the nine. We take the gift of baptism, of restoration to the love of God, to the family that he has for us, and to eternal life, and we waste it with our concerns for this world, for our status, for our money, for all the things that we're told will be given to us if we only put God first. And what does it mean to put God first? It means that before we worry about that other stuff, we come to him, we give him thanks, and we praise him. We do what we were created to do. So as we leave here today, as we go into the week to come, and as we struggle with those dry times in faith that we all have, let's remember that we are not only healed and sent out to the priest, but we are expected to be giving praise and glory to God as a consequence of the blessings that we are given. And that is our job, what we were made to do, created to do. And when we do that, everything else falls into place, because then Jesus makes us whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.